I'm not going to take you very far into the Word today, just Genesis. So, Father, will you please anoint these words so that they will bring life and not death, that they will release grace and healing to the hearts, in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 1. You're going to see in Genesis chapter 1 that there was creation going on. But then in verse 26, I want to kind of give you a heads up. The God we serve may not be visible all the time in you, but I can say that he's definitely alive in all of us, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to be here. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Notice it's not my. It's our. Three parts. Father, Son, and? All right. If I was to take your picture and show it to one of your family members, would they recognize you? Would they? Yeah. Yeah. I look at my grandfather. I call him my great-grandfather because my biological dad was my grandfather in my eyes. Because God gave me two, actually three himself, but sometimes we see similarities. Sometimes you see the Holy Spirit and the Lord using you, and you see yourself as a godly instrument in a dark place and in a dark space. When the Lord wrote this word, he made sure that it was duplicated. Remember I said everything is established in 2 or 3? Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created... So you're a Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Not the Adam family. Okay? Mr. and Mrs. Adam were all involved inside of his first creation, and we were in that image of the unseen one. Was he able to see them and they to see him? Were they able to see him? Ha! They walked with him. Okay. See, we sometimes say, oh, I can't call myself such and such because it's not God. But I can tell you that if you are in the image of God, then there's similitude. Now, just because Adam and Eve fell apart, did God destroy the picture? Uh-uh. The image was the same. What did they lose? They lost something, didn't they? They lost the glory. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay? Now, a lot of times we don't understand that we were created to be in authority. in the earth. But that's what the design was. Pattern hasn't changed. Now, verse 29. God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, etc., etc., etc. Okay? Verse 2 of chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the works of creation, or creating, that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth, watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust. Now, is this a second creation? He formed the first one, part of you, as spirit.
Ruach.
So now the second part of the creation is he's going to put an earth suit on that. Made out of what? Out of dust. How many know without having water, you can't make mud? I had a friend of mine who used to say, this is the best he could do with the mud he had to work with at the time.
I used to make great mud pies.
My granddaughter does all the time. Listen again. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the bread of life, and the man became a living being. Well, was the first one a living being? Yes, he was. So where did you get your start as a spirit? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, you are spirit, soul, and body. So when were you created in the spirit realm? Before you got your earth suit. When did you come into this realm? When you entered your mother's womb in seed form. But God sent your spirit to connect. Ah. Some people concentrate on the flesh part. When mom and dad did their thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a higher recognition that you are spirit beings living in an earth suit made of dust. For God's purpose and for God's glorification of his creation, namely you. His intent is to restore through Christ Jesus what he created in the first place. And oh, you say, oh, I'm only human? Oh, what an error. That's a good excuse to get away with fleshy ideas. And don't try to correct people. Just leave them there. Because maybe that's all they can handle is one day at a time. But you are spirit beings and you can handle eternity because eternity is alive inside of you. Yes? You better speak loud because I want it on here. Otherwise, we have a blank in the...
God said, I knew you before by your name before you were in the womb of your...
Jeremiah chapter 1. Yes, that's spirit.
Jesus,
and that's what I'm trying to show you.
Jesus was spirit, and he had to come into a body.
Yes.
Because because the same way that we came into existence, he had to come into existence. Because how can he be crucified for mankind if he didn't come into existence in the same manner?
Amen. But I'm pointing it out so you can see what you've been reading and how many times we listen to the knowledge of good and evil and we say, whoa. What do you mean you're spirit beings? You are spirit beings having an earthly experience, just like Jesus. And your age is just part of the natural realm. In the spirit, how old are you? How about 7,000 years and going forward? 7,000 years and going for eternity, ever. No end. Yes. Verse 2 again. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. That's a pattern of the seventh year that's coming up. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the works of creating that he had done. But was he all done with creating? No. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub, etc. Verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of the in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow on the ground, out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eyes, good for food. In the middle of the garden there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if you study in the major universities of this world, what are you learning from? Which tree? The knowledge of good and evil. You say, I've been feeding on that? Yes, you have. If you've got a degree, I pray for you. Hope it's better than a thermometer. Because many people have great degrees, but they have no revelation of the King. They have no revelation of the Messiah. So I'm not disqualifying who they are or whatever you have done in the Lord. And even in your background, God uses all things for his glory. It's not a put down. It's just recognizing where they're coming from. Verse 10. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. And the name of the first, etc., and it goes on. I want you to skip over to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Verse 17. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when you eat of it, you will surely die. So was it planned for God to allow death? Or was it a free will decision for man to make? That's right. And it's still there today. How many of you have ever tried to minister to somebody that don't want to hear the gospel? They don't want to hear the good news, period. They shut you down. Okay? 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. And they were all what? Flesh. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of his man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Notice they went from Mr. and Mrs. Adam in one body, now two separate bodies. "For she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, if you notice, he didn't say that sex was a problem. Some people put sex as the problem between God and man. Totally, totally false. "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Notice again the deception. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food," she discerned, right? "Pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it, some, and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her." You better make sure that it's marked underneath. The husband wasn't at the other end of the garden. He could have said, "Woman, stop it." But he didn't. "And he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open." It's their eyes that were opened. To what? What did they see?
Sin.
Huh?
Sin. That was the sin.
That was disobedience. It was willful choice to disobey God. That they could do things on their own. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I can do this all by my..." Thank you. I have a 6-year-old going on 22. And when she's got attitude, we know it. Why? Is it Christ formed in her that's manifesting, or Adam? Thank you. What am I saying to you today? What is the press that I'm trying to make you see? The pattern of your old lifestyle without Christ was whatever it was. But when Christ the Lord came into your hearts, there was a changeover to recapture what you had lost. You could study this entire chapter and underline the areas that speak to you. Try not to go at the word with a preconceived idea. Because what I've done today is kind of underline a couple of corners. Hopefully to jostle what you've learned. Shake it a little bit. And then when you go back to the word and you see what God has done by what he did with Jesus, remember, he is the one that brought you back into the fullness of the anointing that Adam lost. And I thought it was going to be an instantaneous transformation. "Oh, now that you've accepted the Lord, your problems are over." I got news for you. You just put a big sign on the back of your head. And a big sign on your chest: "I belong to Jesus," and every demon in town got upset. Why? Because you changed your allegiance. Do you know when I was in the Christian realm of Christianity that I never had opposition? Because I was working for the darkness full time, basically. Didn't even know it. What I am saying to you is that now that the anointing has come upon you and the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you, you are a threat to that darkness. Tried to make you aware of that. And that threat is real. It's not make-believe. It is not make-believe. When the Holy Spirit allowed me to read a book by Rick Joyner, which is called Two Trees in a Garden, he wrote a book of 100-something pages on this subject. I would highly recommend it because it'll take you out of your... and put you down here into your heart. It'll take all these things that you figure out up here in your mind and transfer it to the inner parts of your heart. Your first creation, your spirit man, was designed by God to be kings and priests in the earth. Yes?
You hit a nerve there because if you, what you just said about disobedience, and if you go into King Shaul, you realize that the only reason why God basically was done with him was because his continuous willful disobedience.
That's right.
That was what he held against him.
Yep.
Not whether he was perfect or made mistakes, but just that he was just willfully disobedient.
And how many Christians that you know today are willfully disobedient? Do you have to look any further than yourself?
Yep.
So remember, your purpose is to live for eternity under the anointing of the Most High. You are to be kings and priests unto him. And as you learn that you were created before this world was put together, it's kind of a neat gift. Jeremiah chapter 1, Jesus had made it clear by his spirit. Jeremiah had his beginning at that creation. You and I had our beginning. Where? At what creation do we have our beginning? Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish, etc. Your spirit beings. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now and put your hand on your tummy. Not the upper chest. Tummy. This is your center. This is your core. See, this here might be the pump that pumps your blood. But this is really the heart. The heart of a tree is the center, the core. The core of your being. How many of you have ever ridden a roller coaster? And when you go down, what happens? Your spirit doesn't go down right away, does it? It feels like, oh. Yeah, that's your spirit, man. When I was 11 years old, my spirit left my body, and I saw my body that was created out of what? Dust. I saw my parents in their bed. Where was I? I was up above. And the most wonderful, wonderful experience was I wasn't hurting anymore. I had no pain in my chest. Close your eyes one more time. Say, Lord Jesus. Let this truth from Genesis 1 make a reality to me. That God created me to be like him. I am a spirit being living in an earth suit. And sometimes things don't go well with that earth suit. And the brain is part of that earth suit. But the inner part of me has come back to life. And life to the fullest. Because Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit like it did in Acts 1 and chapter 2. The Holy Ghost came down for a purpose to regenerate me
recreate me,
and heal and set me free.
And he's doing a great job. Hallelujah. I give you praise, Lord. I give you honor. I give you glory. Because
you're inside of me.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Son.
Son.
And even Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I'm in the image of my Papa.
I radiate
the energy
from
the Son.
The S-O-N
Son.
I radiate
the counsel
of
the Holy Spirit.
When
people have a need,
I can trust the Holy Spirit
to
speak
through my mouth
and
shatter the
darkness.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord,
for
creating
me
like
you.
Hallelujah.
That's
all I got.